Now, the first tree, we took God's provision of victory over sin. They would take God's provision for victory over self-effort to please God. Victory over self-effort to please God. Now we'll look to God in the word prayer. Dear Father, I'm helpless to teach anything. I pray I may be clean, that water of life can flow through me, and deal with my mind, that such as is truth may come out in the power of the Holy Spirit. And Father, I can give words, but only the Holy Spirit can give life. Now we've learned of your provision for overcoming sin. So show us now, in a marvelous way, your provision for all our efforts to make that old nature now please God and to do God's work. I pray, Father, it may result in transformed lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You turn to Romans 7:15. We'll work from there on. Romans 7:15. A few preliminary remarks. Galatians 3:3. You know what a fool is? One definition of fool is someone who feels in his own strength he can do the work of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 3:3. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Can you in any way finish in your own fleshly efforts what the Holy Spirit began? You're a fool to think you can do that. Another verse. John 6:63. The flesh profits nothing. It is the Spirit that gives life. Self-effort to please God is foolish and profits nothing. Yet do we know the way of victory over sin, sometimes we think, now I can take over. I understand. And we feel, I won't let my old nature sin. I'm now going to make my old nature obey God. And the result is a humiliating experience of failure, despair, defeat. Even as a Christian. Every Christian needs to learn his utter helplessness to please God. Even if he has an honest desire. God carefully brings each of us where he brought Paul. To this one self-disclosure, how helpless we are to make the old nature obey God. A cry for help. Then God longs to reveal the way of deliverance from trying to make the flesh obey God. Now Paul's testimony here is a testimony of a saved man. A man who learned the way of victory over sin, but he has not learned yet, apparently, the victory over self-effort to please God. And he tells us his experience and God's way of deliverance. And I say this, sooner or later, we must see ourselves in this chapter. Every Christian I've ever known, sooner or later, he sees himself in this chapter. Now, Romans 8:7, would you mind looking at that now? We must learn that the old nature can never be reformed or brought under control to serve God. Romans 8:7. Because the carnal mind, the fleshly mind, is enmity against God, always will be. It is not subject to the law of God, neither need can be. Give up all idea of trying to make that old nature serve God. Can't be. Verse 8, so then we that are in the flesh cannot please God. The flesh profits nothing but bondage. Now let's enter into Paul's struggle and see if this is in some way our struggle. Now remember, he was a brilliant man. I think he was more brilliant than most everybody in this room. He's a scholarly man. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He met Christ face to face on the Damascus Road. He was caught up into paradise, heard unspeakable words, an abundance of revelation. He knew the law of God perfectly. And he put forth tremendous self-effort to be holy, and he ended in despair. And so will you. So will I. Let's look, and I'm glad he put it down in writing. Verse 15. For that which I do, see, what I'm doing, I allow not. I don't understand why I do it. I don't approve it. And it happens. This outbreak of irritability. Did it ever happen to you? This outbreak of impatience. This outbreak of lustful thoughts. I hate them. Why do I entertain them? For what I would, that I don't do. The life I really want to live, I don't do it. What I hate, that I do. Have you experienced that? Why did I do that again? I know I hate it. It's happened again. Why did I do it? Why did I do it, Lord? There it goes again. I hate it, but I do it. Verse 16. If I do that which I would not, I consent to the law that is good. God's law is good. I know it's good. The law is holy. The commandment is holy. It's just as good. Trouble is not with God's law. It's trouble with me. I want this old nature to obey God, and I can't make it do it. And I'm going to keep on struggling. Verse 17. I know what the problem is. I know what the problem is. Now then, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. This old sin nature. When I want to make this sin nature obey God, it sins. I can't correct it, reform it, do anything with it. Now verse 18 is a good commentary on the old nature. For I know that in me, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. That sink in? In your old nature dwells nothing God can call good. It's totally corrupt. God has one place for it, and that's the cross. We're not to take the old nature down from the cross, dress it up, and try to make it religious. Paul's telling us that we struggle. Now verse 19. For the good that I would, I don't do that. I want to be holy. I want to be loving. I want to be patient. I want to be kind. But I fail so frequently. I cannot do what my heart cries out to do. Why doesn't my old nature obey God? The evil which I would not that I do. There it goes again. I'm so sorry, but there it goes. Verse 20. Now, if I do that I would not, it's no more I that do it. Not my personality, not the real I. Paul traces the sin to its course. It's no more I that do it. It's not my new life in Christ, but sin that dwells in me takes over. When I would do good, sin takes over. Once you get this now. When I try to make this old nature obey God, sooner or later I do something which is not wrong, because which is wrong. Anything the old nature does is sinful. Sooner or later it's sinful. When I try to make the old nature obey God, I'm getting deeper down into sin. 21. I found that a law or a principle that when I would do good, evil was present with me. Now verse 22. I delight in the law of God after the inward man. I delight in God's will. The inner man is Christ in you. 2 Corinthians 4:16. The inner man, the new life in Christ, should be renewed day by day. I see another law, or that law could be a principle in my members of my body, warring against the law of my mind. The members of my body are in a battle against what I know I ought to do. There's a battle going on, and I'm losing the battle. My mind knows what I ought to do. I try to discipline my body to do it, but it doesn't do it. I see another law of the members warring against the law of my mind bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, my members. Now, Paul hits the bottom. He is a captive Christian. A Christian who is captive. And a captive Christian is a very sad situation. The very old nature he's trying to make obey God has made him a captive. And he cries a prayer of desperation. Will you all read verse 24 together? Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I look up this way and tell you this. Have you been there? Sooner or later, you ought to be there. The cry of, oh, wretched man that I am. I'm the end of myself. I'm defeated. I hate myself. What I do, my sin, my pain. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Let me read you something. In Virgil's writings, he tells of tyrants who chained those who were murdered, the dead bodies, to the murderer, often face to face. Now, some feel that Paul had this in mind, that as Virgil wrote, he's a murderer. And the person he murdered, they tie to him face to face, and he drags around this dead body with him. The body, the stench, the odor, he drives around, I don't know how long. And Paul said, I'm dragging around with me this old corrupt nature. I'm trying to make it obey God, but it won't do it. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And there comes a word. I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, can I tell you something here? In this chapter, from verse 14 to 24, the word I, me, is mentioned 36 times. There may be more. Which illustrates clearly what's happening. He's trying to make the I, the me, obey God, and nothing will happen. Now, let's say this to you. When you get over to the 8th chapter, I is not mentioned. In the place of I, the Holy Spirit is mentioned. And 19 times in chapter 8, the Holy Spirit is mentioned. Now, in my Bible, I have marked the eyes in a circle. Paul had a big case of eye trouble. Can you see all the eyes? I. Over here, Spirit, 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 Spirit. When you look at that, there's Paul in defeat, there's Paul in victory. Go to your Bible. You're not afraid to mark your Bible, are you? Now wear them out and wear them in. I. Over here, Spirit, 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 Spirit. Our next lesson will be on the Holy Spirit. Now we're going to look at it. Look at your Bible and look at it. Just look at it. And all you have to do is to look at it and see there's I. 30 some. Over here it's Spirit. Spirit, Spirit. And look at it. Here's defeat. Here's victory. Trying to make the old nature serve God to feed. Letting the Holy Spirit rule your life, that's victory. Now we're going to look at the Holy Spirit in chapter 8, just in a preliminary way. And Lord willing, next Tuesday, we'll go into the Holy Spirit, not in depth, I mean this way. This course is supposed to be personal spiritual development. And I will not go into the doctrine of the Holy Spirit thoroughly, like I should like to, but I will go into the Holy Spirit as He pertains to your spiritual life. How He helps you to pray, how He helps you to worship God, how He helps you to know Christ, how He gives you guidance, all those things, victory over sin. I'll go into the place of the Holy Spirit in your life that way. But now, as a preliminary, we'll start with a look at the Holy Spirit, chapter 8. Verse 2. You read that, and I'll explain it to you what little light I have. Let's read Romans 8, 2. Ready? For the law of the Spirit of life. Let's start again. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The law here, the word law, could mean a principle. And there's two principles operating here. And one principle set you free from the other principle. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The law of the Holy Spirit working. The Holy Spirit working in your life sets you free from self-effort. He gives you victory over it. May I illustrate this way. In an office building, as you walk out in the lobby, there's a law of gravity that's working. You step on the elevator, the law of gravity is still working. But a new law set into operation, whatever you call it, the law of the lift of the elevator, the law of gravity is still working. But the second law overcomes the first, makes it harmless. And something like this, you step into the Holy Spirit, as it were. Let the Holy Spirit control your life. And the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus sets me free from the law of sin and death. So it is not struggle. It is the fullness of the Holy Spirit taking your life, enabling you to serve God. Rivers of living water flowing from you. We'll take it up next week. Living a Spirit-filled life. Constantly being filled with the Holy Spirit over and over and over again. Constantly, constantly. That's God's way of victory. Of not trying to make you victory over self-effort. Oh, you get so worn out trying to do things yourself. But it's so easy. I mean easy. You have peace of mind, peace of heart, when you let the Holy Spirit take over. Let's look a little bit further at Romans 8. You've been very, very fine.
My
guess.
Is this the Holy Spirit in reference to victory over the self?
God's giving you the Holy Spirit to work in your life instead of self-effort to please God. Instead of trying to make the old nature holy and trying to make the old nature please God, trying to make old nature serve God, God's giving you the Holy Spirit. And He will enable you to serve God. He'll flow through you. He'll do all those things. We'll go into detail next week. But we'll look a little further here. You see now, Romans 8. Verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Let's meditate there. The very righteousness that Paul tried to establish in Romans 7, God said, it's not after the flesh, but it's after the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, and so on. It's the Holy Spirit that produces the work. It's the Holy Spirit who convicts. It's the Holy Spirit who reveals Christ. It's the Holy Spirit who guides. All those marvelous things come through the Holy Spirit. See, the very righteousness that you want to live, that you fail by self-effort, will be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And verse 5, the Spirit and the flesh are contrasted. They that are after the flesh, you mind the things of the flesh. They that are after the flesh, the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And that can be very subtle. Without knowing it, you could organize your church along fleshly lines. You could plan programs. You could do this. We're going to do that. You might show the Lord where to sign, you know. You make all the plans to show the Lord where He can put His approval. It's surprising how much of the work of the church can be done in the energy of the flesh. Now, God has something better. They that are after the flesh, who think they could still do things, they mind self-plans. Read E.M. Bounds' book. He'll give you some ideas on this. Plans, programs, so on. Man-made, man-powered, so on. It could be fleshly, although it may be cultured. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. things that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, the longer you live, more and more mind the things of the Holy Spirit. We'll take some later. Do you know the Holy Spirit's in you? Do you know that? I didn't know the Holy Spirit was in me. I didn't know that. I was saved outside of our church, and we didn't get any teaching in our church. And I was up in the Pocono Mountains, walking near a place called Mountain Home, near Cresco, crying out to God. And I had my testament with me. I didn't know much scripture. And I happened to read 1 Corinthians 6:19. But don't you know your body's a temple of the Holy Ghost? I stood there in a row, almost breathless. I was a revelation to you. I never knew that before. And I learned then that my life was to be the outliving of the indwelling Holy Spirit. I was not to seek power for some outside force, but the yield of the power was already in. And to make a lifetime of study and waiting to find out all that the Holy Spirit wanted to do with me, get out of the way and let Him take over. But I never knew the Holy Spirit was in me. I think I said this to you, and I'm sorry to say it. Someone said that if the Holy Spirit was taken out of the world, some churches wouldn't know the difference. That's tragic, isn't it? Isn't that tragic? That's tragic. So they didn't mind the flesh. Six, to be carnally minded is death, spiritually minded life and peace. Then in verse 9, I'm going over these things. Ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwelling in you. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. That's the mark of sonship, sealed with the Spirit. If Christ is in you, God's plan is the body to be dead because of sin, but the Spirit to be life unto righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in your body, dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also give life to your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. I'm going to pause there a moment. What is your mortal body? It's your dying body, body of flesh. And what Paul is saying here, I believe, among other things, you'll feel the effect of your human body when you yield your body to the Holy Spirit. You'll quicken your mortal body, your dying body. I mean, that not only means at the resurrection. How does that operate? How does it operate? This way. What wears you out? Fear, tension, anxiety, worry. It affects the body. If you try to be, I don't like to use the word try, but yield to the Holy Spirit, and it gives you peace of mind and rest and joy and deliverance from anxiety and stress, it can't help but have a good effect upon your body. We go on. Everything that the flesh touches ends in death. Everything that the Spirit touches ends in life. I want to anticipate next week a little bit. Let's read verse 13 together. Ready? For if ye live according to the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye live through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. I'll try to explain it to you. There's a debate going on now that just states whether death should be the penalty for murder. You know what's going on. I don't know where I was, but one time I had the opportunity to see an electric chair. It's a gruesome looking thing. The death house, the men are there. When it comes time, the chair, the guard comes in, maybe tap the fellow on the shoulder, lead him away, sit down in the chair. He leads you to the place of death. That's exactly what the Holy Spirit does when you yield to Him. Look at verse 13. If ye through the Spirit do make the die, to lead to the place of death, the deeds of the body, you'll live. You'll really enjoy life. The Holy Spirit makes to die the deeds of the body. How does that work? We come to temptation, to the flesh, say, I'm dead to that, I'm alive to you. Holy Spirit, you fill me now. Holy Spirit, you keep that thing in the place of death. I don't want it. I just want you, and He will. I'm just pointing out the Holy Spirit in the place of the I life. Look a little bit further, 14, this is guidance. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. See, this is God's plan instead of self-effort to please God. O wretched man, who shall deliver me? This is the answer. A Spirit-filled life is the answer. A Spirit-filled life is God's answer to self-effort to try to please God. A Spirit-filled life is God's answer. Out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This spake He the Spirit. It's the Spirit of God flowing through us, which is to do the work, not fleshly self-effort. Men are led by the Spirit of God. They are the sons of God. Verse 15, you have not received the spirit of bondage. Was Paul in bondage? Yes, he was. The flesh always leads to bondage. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I'm in bondage. But we haven't received the spirit of bondage. You receive the Spirit which makes you know you're children of God by adoption. Verse 16, the Holy Spirit witnesses that we're children of God. So on. Verse 26, here's the Holy Spirit in prayer. The Spirit also helps our weaknesses. We don't know what we should pray for as we ought. The Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I've hurriedly gone over 19 times here where the Holy Spirit is mentioned. Now, about this prayer. One of the greatest blessings in developing a prayer life is to tell God you don't know how to pray. I can't start a prayer time. This morning I came to the Lord. He quieted my heart. Gave me a verse for today. My verse for today is Jeremiah 1:5. I will not fail thee. My verse for yesterday is, maybe I told you, Abraham considered not the age of his body, deadness of his body. And God doesn't want me to consider that either. That if He's called me, He will enable me, He will take care of me. But in prayer, don't think you know how to pray. Likewise, the Holy Spirit helps our weaknesses. We don't know how to pray. Tell God you don't know how to pray. Don't go through a agonizing recitation of some forms. Say, Lord, I don't know how to pray, but I want to pray your will. I thank you've given me the Holy Spirit to teach me how to pray. Your Spirit of God, show me what should be the burden of my prayer today. May not be long, may be shorter, but show me. Then the Holy Spirit gives you great liberty. Some things you can't put into words. You yearn to God, you can't express them. But the Holy Spirit expresses them in a language that God knows. And God looks down and sees what the Holy Spirit is saying in you, because the Holy Spirit in you prays through you the will of God. The Holy Spirit in you will pray through you the will of God. And that kind of prayer will have to go, will have to be answered. Has anybody got a question or a thought? Yes?
You said the Holy Spirit the Holy Spirit gave you this verse.
Yeah.
Now, did He give you that out of your memory or out of the Scripture, or could you explain?
Here's what I do. I don't think that I'm not Oral Roberts, you know. That's
what you're checking.
The Lord bless him. I believe he's one of our brethren. I try to think when I get up in the morning, what do I need most today? What do I need today? And first of all, go through my mind. And the one seems to stay there. Now really, I thought, what am I doing up here, Pippi? I'm an old man. But Lord, you've opened the way there. And I can't turn back. Will I be able to make it to May? Then that verse came to me. Abraham didn't consider how old his body was. But he was fully persuaded what God had promised he was able to do. So I said, Lord, you have a plan for those dear young people there. Some are going to the chaplaincy, some are going to the mission field. Only God knows the potential that's here. You know it, Lord. I don't know. I want to be a clean pipe, and if you can flow through me in any way to bring those dear young people where they ought to be, then I want to go there. Empty. But I want to be filled. I want you to be the man of God or the woman of God I want you to be. I want you to lay hold of the resources that Christ has for you. I want all of us to lay hold of what Christ has for us. Paul said he should preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. But I want all of us to know the unsearchable riches of Christ. You to be the person God wants you to be. That's my great desire. Amen. So, God can even do that with an old man, can't he? But don't pay too much on that. About the verse for the day. Try when you open your eyes in the morning to look to the Lord. And say, just meditate. And think of what you're going to do that day. I didn't sleep most of all last night. I wasn't well. And I said, Lord, how could I take today? I was up most of the night. That isn't anything. So I needed that verse. I will not fail thee. That's my verse for the day. I got along with the Lord and the Lord. That's my verse for the day. Thank you. You will not fail me. You cannot. You will not. So it's good when you open your eyes in the morning. Well, what's a good verse for me today? Now, as you say, he can only bring to your memory what you first put in there. So, fill your mind with good verses, good thoughts, and as you need it, you'll bring it to your memory. You'll apply it. That's how you live. That's how you live. Anyone else got a thought? Question? Well, I'm finished. You know what I do when I'm finished? Quit. I'm going to leave you out of it. Oh, he's going.